Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
What's going on, everybody? What's going on? This topic we got tonight is going to be very, very touchy, I guess, to some people, but I don't care. We got to talk about the failure of the black church. Now, I did a video talking about that I wanted to get into this topic. Ms. Gabriella hit me up and said, you know what, we need to do a show on this. And I said, you know what, I think it would be better to talk about this on a Blog Talk Radio show than it would be to do a video. So, as always, how you doing, Ms. Gabriella?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to get started, though, for a cause.
All right. Oh, well, get started, Chica. Get started. What's on your mind?
Oh, I have a lot on my mind. Let me log in, though. There's a lot on my mind because I came up with this topic because I recently had an encounter with what I call churchians. And those are people that they claim that they go to church. They claim they love the Lord. And yet, they're some of the most nasty, spiteful, evil, disgusting people in the world. And this is the reason why a lot of people don't even want to go to church anymore, because it's like, what's the point of going to church when most of the people that go to church are hypocrites? Most of the people that go to church are really judgmental, and they try to use their religion as a way of making you feel bad about yourself. And yet, when you look back at the things that they did in the past, they were probably doing way worse than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, it seems like most of America, but I've seen a lot of people really start to turn away from the church because there's just so much going on. And I really don't blame them, because sometimes, like, I even wanted to say that I've actually changed my religious belief to Christ follower instead of Christian, because there's just so much negativity attached to that title, especially as a black woman. It's almost sad if you think about it, because just like you posted up, you said 87% of black people are Christians, and yet we have some of the highest STD rates, crime rates. You see the stuff we do in music videos. You see the stuff we put up on World Star Hip Hop. Every single time you'll go on Instagram or any of these social media sites, and there will be women that will have naked photos all over the internet. But mm-hmm. then those are the same females they'll be talking about. They love the Lord, and they'll be quoting Bible scriptures and stuff. And they got two kids.
And not
and
by
no
the
man.
Same dude.
And no man. Yeah. And not meant by two different men.
Like I said, I'm gonna run my mouth today, but you know what? I'm the type of dude that I'm gonna hold my peace for a little bit, because I want to go off about this topic today. But I'm gonna go ahead and start on the call line. So I got like four people just sitting there already. So, and I appreciate y'all just joining us for the show. So let's see who's been sitting here the longest. Eric Cole.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, what's your name, bro? It's Chad.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what's up, pimping?
Well, first of all, I'm going to start the show on fire tonight, because I've been to Bishop A. Long's church. I've been to Bishop A. Long's church, and I went to his school and met him in person. And I thought he was the best man in the world, that he was the greatest. I hated the place because I saw so many hypocrites, but I thought he was the one perfect man in the church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year after I left, all the crap comes out, and, you know, about his allegations and everything of that nature. And, I saw a lot of hypocrisy, and I saw a woman in positions of power. And again, you know, it's just, I didn't really see too many men in power. I mean, the head director was a man, but the principal of the high school was a woman. So, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, You know, I mean, with so you was there with Bishop Long, but he never showed any signs that hey something's not right or
well,
did
I mean, I didn't really.
Did your
BS
meter go off any about him? Because everybody got a BS meter inside to say, hey, wait a minute, something ain't right about that. I just can't put my finger on.
Never really got that vibe. I mean, you know, I mean, we talked in about 5 minutes, and I think he said there was a retreat for some boys or whatever. You know, and my mom.
Wasn't you glad you didn't go to that retreat?
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't go.
You've been his booty buddy, man.
But yeah, I didn't go, and you know, and I just saw so many hypocrisy in kids, and you know, I was acting a little bit, you know, bad too, because I just hated seeing black people act like this, and you know, I said some stuff too, but I just didn't like how the people who were the meanest and cussing the most was this. I felt like I was at a public school, basically, because going to a Christian school is no different from a public school either, but I just don't like seeing that hypocrisy either, so.
Okay. Well, let me get to the next person who's been holding the longest. Let's see here. Area code 757. You're on the show. What's your name?
Barbara.
Barbara. Okay. How you doing, Barbara?
Did you call him before? I think your voice sounds familiar.
Yeah, I done called here before.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Miss Barbara. Yeah, you talking about all them ratchet hood rats last time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right.
I keep it all real.
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's what we want, Miss Barbara. We want people to keep it real. You know, all speaking the truth like razor blades coming out your mouth.
Yeah, look at here. I know of this situation of the churches. They got 3 churches on the intersection, right? And all of them trying to outdo each other. Who the biggest? Mm. Anytime you got to be so big, well, you got to cut the programs to help the people in the community, I think there's something wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Thanksgiving baskets, helping with the people. I'm about helping people, helping the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they trying to outdo each other churches. I got the biggest church. My church bigger than yours. I think that's foolishness.
And why you think they on this competition for? Who are they trying to impress?
They family and friends.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
During this competition, is anything changing in these churches that you know of?
Yeah, they cutting the programs to help the community, to help the people. It's all for show,
But they ain't cutting them ties, though, right?
No, they ain't cutting the ties. You know, they got to keep the nice cars to ride in and the big houses to show off, you know? It ain't about the people, bottom line. It ain't about the people.
Let me put this out there, though. Not all churches are that way.
Not all churches.
Out.
No, it's
they
not.
They got some churches out there that's doing the right thing, who
is
representing the right way like Christ intended. So I want to put it out
right.
So people won't think this is a hate the church session. I don't hate church. I love God and everything. So don't think that. You know,
but
there's
nothing wrong with criticizing the things.
I'm going to talk about stuff, but I just want to put that disclaimer out there.
I'm
not an agnostic or none of that, so don't, okay. I'm part of the 87%. All right,
here
we go. I think I know who this is. Area code 210. This Nola.
This is Brother Nola.
Yeah. How did I know it, Brother Nola? I'm learning these folks' area codes now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Nola, you got something to say if I had the next caller, brother?
Man, you know, man, I'm glad you had this topic because I was going to talk about this probably next few videos. You know, I'm down with the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And, you know, I'm going to let you go on to the next caller, but I definitely got something to say once you get into the topic more in depth today.
Oh, all right. Well, let me see here who's been holding the longest here. Okay. Area code 229, you on the show. What's going on? What's your name?
Yeah, what's up? This is Greg calling from Georgia. What's up, man?
Oh, what's up, brother? How you making?
I'm doing pretty good. What's the topic for tonight?
the failure of the black church.
Oh, Lord. Hey, you must have read my mind.
All right, go ahead, let me know.
Me and a couple of guys, we were just talking about this today, man.
Okay.
Just talking about this today.
What's on your mind, bro?
Well, I was just going to say basically that, you know, I don't have nothing against Christianity. You know, I don't have nothing against, you know, religion or whatever, believing what you believe. But my thing is this. We were just talking about how, you know, our black community is in shambles right now, you know, and our community supposedly, you know, is probably the most quote unquote religious community out there, you know.
87% of black people say they're Christian, bro.
Yeah, we stress religion. We stress religion in our community. And what we was basically saying was that, you know, for all the religion that we have, if that was the case, you know, we should be on top of everything. You know, we shouldn't be at the bottom of the barrel. We should be running things, you know. But
yeah, and running things, especially at least in our own community.
At least in our own communities, exactly. And we got so much religion, but nothing to show for it, basically.
Okay, well let me add another call. I'll just add them in that I think we've been holding the longest. Eric code 773. What's your name? You on the show?
Leona.
Leona. All right. How you doing, Leona?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm okay. So what's on your mind?
Well, I have a few points. I don't want to over-talk anyone or talk too much, but for myself, being a black woman and coming from the south side of Chicago, I feel that the reason why the black community is experiencing so many problems is because, one, of the lack of sexual education. Nobody really knows to prevent problems like condom usage. I feel also that you can do whatever you want. You can steal, you can talk crap to people, you can do this, that, and the other. And on Sundays, you can pray it off and everything is okay for the rest of the week. But are those people actually doing things to repent for their sins and actually changing their future actions? Are they? If you keep continuously committing sins, are you even a real Christian? Are you even trying to change yourself? Or are you just putting the blame on some person?
That's what you call an imposter. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So being in the black neighborhood that I grew up in, I feel that all these people claiming to be Christians or whatever, then they're just imposters. I have found lot of inconsistencies and hypocrisies when I was a young child before I graduated from elementary school in 2004. I denounced being a Christian before I graduated because there were so many contradictions that I could not bear to live with.
If you don't mind me asking, what are these contradictions and where are you basing the contradictions from?
Just of what I learned from encyclopedias and constantly reading as a child, and also being in a mostly black or African-American environment through elementary school and also high school, just seeing how people were like, oh, I'm a Christian, but yet they can do X, Y, and Z, and it's all okay because on Sunday, you know, everything is wiped off, and there is no compassion. People bully each other. I was bullied as a child. True.
A lot of us was bullied.
Yes. And not only living my own experiences or seeing how other people are treated, especially black women, because I am a black woman myself, just seeing how things happened in the past, too. I feel like why follow into something that you were pretty much forced into in order to live and survive in a world that is changing around you, and to then be a part of this and then treat other people of the same skin color or even different skin colors probably even worse than you were treated. I hope I'm not, you know, talking in circles too much, but...
Oh, no. Like I said, I'm listening. I said, I'm doing a lot of listening before I start speaking tonight. So that's why I just want to hear everybody's point of view.
Let's see. Also, I feel like I'm possibly an even more minority than just being a black female. I don't know if we should discuss this now or later.
Get it on out there.
Well, as a child, well, lately I've started realizing that maybe I'm a little bit more stranger than I thought. I did not have a true sense of self as a child. I just did things. I studied. I possibly... did not think I was a girl growing up until I hit puberty and someone had to actually tell me that I was changing into a woman. I felt really different about that, just like, wow, I didn't even know. And just having to pretty much switch up the path that I was taking instead of doing what I wanted to do. It was like my road has
changed. Did you say you didn't know that you was a girl for a while until you hit a certain age or puberty? did I hear that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Your
mother did.
So you were more like a tomboy.
Don't be a tomboy bashing because I was a tomboy most of my life. Ain't nobody bashing. Stop being sensitive, Miss Gabrielle. Settle down.
So what's behind that? Your mother didn't communicate.
That's how we talk on this show. We all family here.
Your mother didn't communicate with you much?
Well, I'm sure she probably told me, but as a kid, you don't think about that type of thing. You just want to play, you want to have fun, you want to play in the sand or do this and that and the other. But as I grew older, it was just like, oh, you can't fight boys anymore. Like, I used to fight pretty much my nephew as a child and made him cry, but
that's funny.
As
can't
I got
fight
older.
Shoot, so. These females these days fighting more boys than I have seen in my life. So you got a video evidence to prove it. So obviously they ain't stopped fighting boys.
But as a child, you don't think anything of it. You just do things. Your parents talk to you. Your teachers talk to you. But I feel as a child, even though it goes one ear and out of the other, it just slightly stays inside of you. And then later on, you might think about it, and then you wonder why you feel certain ways. I wondered why I liked girls and guys. I liked certain things, or I was just like, but wait, I'm supposed to be a Christian. I'm supposed to be a woman. I'm supposed to be straight.
Did you go to the church to look for help for that?
I went to church a few times, but
did you...
just seeing how they looked at me, or my sister, because we seemed to probably not have a lot of money.
Oh, she's breaking up pretty big.
Just like, oh, I'm sorry. We were looked at like, oh, why are you here? In a black church on the south side. I did not feel welcome. It's like, why am I here in a place where I'm supposed to be around people that care for each other? Mm-hmm. And they're looking at me like I do not belong when I just want to, you know, seek God out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know. My mind is, like, racing right now. I also learned
I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm listening, but I'm asking some questions about that because I want to break up the show in different type of topics because this person's been holding for a little bit. Let me see if I can see if they got something to say. Area code 646, what's your name? You're on the show.
Hello?
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 The Advice Show?
Area code 912. Yes, sir. 912 area code. You on the show.
Can you hear me?
So I can hear you. What's
can
your
you?
Name?
Okay, yes, Vanessa. Yeah, I'm 912. I was just calling because I was listening to what the young lady was just speaking about earlier. I do agree with her as well as the guy that was speaking. The black church is completely falling apart because it has just become so commercialized. Nothing is focused on the word of God anymore. But I don't blame God. I blame the people. And we have gotten into worshiping the pastor. You know, these pastor anniversaries just giving. There are people in the church just believe that the pastor himself, is he's saying, like, our God, be like their God. And that's what's going on. And like I said, our community is in a terrible shambles. But yet we are the most, you know, saved people that supposedly is out there. But see, the pastors in the church, they're not preaching about bonification, anything like that. They don't want to talk about that stuff because, see, it's more money that's going into their pockets if they were to speak on these things.
Exactly. Exactly.
And see what's going on. You have people that's, you know, I don't think it's right to turn away from God because it's not him. It's the way these pastors are worship. You know, these ridiculous, like our church just had a pastor anniversary, and, you know, I just had a conversation with one of the girls in the church. She asked me, she said, well, did you pay for assessment? I said, what assessment? And then she said, the money for the pastor anniversary. Now, this girl believed that giving to this pastor, you know, this is going to, you know, because these pastors, they love to tell you, you know, be blessed, bless the man of God and be blessed. Well, see, me and my husband, we are blessed, and I don't have to give him like that. You know, what about going out here and getting someone like this needy in the community? It makes
That's
no
right.
sense. You drive down any black neighborhood like this in the ghetto, you'll see about 4 or 5 different black churches, but yet you have people that's homeless, their neighborhoods are in the jungle, but no one
exactly.
is talking about that.
Yeah, nobody want to address that. You're sitting up there, you're hooping and hollering, you're jumping benches
exactly.
every Sunday, talking about, ain't he all right? Yeah, all that stuff you're doing, and jack leg preaching, ain't doing a doggone thing in the community.
But don't nobody
That's right.
want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. And then you hear people say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't know, but it's not him. It's the people in the church. Because everything has become so, you know, it's all about these preachers are worship. And that's just what drives me crazy. I mean, you have pastors in the church that sleep with women in the church. But yet
mm-hmm.
they're
alive. Oh, yeah, that's been going on for the longest. I got some stories on that. Well, I got a good story on that. I'm going to get to it in this show. But sister,
then,
give me a second. Well, sister, give me a quick second because I got so many calls showing up on here. I don't want everybody sitting too long on hold. Area code 847. What's your name?
847. This is Aka Judy 100.
Oh, how you doing,
Grandma sister? Judy?
Well, how you doing, Grandma Judy? Oh,
Judy,
hey.
Judy, Judy, in the house.
Okay,
I'm Chicago area also, and I'm I joined the Nation of Islam in 1971. And I was raised Christian, and my family act like I had just joined Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you mean you don't eat no pork no more? You know, it was the most horrible experience, but Elijah Muhammad, I mean, they really had their act together. So, and sometimes you can join something and you just have to leave it sometime. I didn't leave Islam, but when he died, I didn't like the way it was going. So I kind of like backed off. It's better than staying there talking about it, sitting there gossiping in the church. I don't like this and I don't like that. But I'm going to be honest with you, I have to give all credit to my parents, of course, and then to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Louis Farrakhan. And I wish them the best. And I really wish if people could just, you know, I joined it because they were doing it for themselves. They wasn't begging for nothing. They had farms. They had, you know, apartment buildings. They were just doing great things. I didn't join because I was in prison or anything. I was going through a bad first marriage. So that's the reason I went in. But all I've got to say is you have a lovely show. You have the most intelligent callers. And I listened for the first time last week, and I said, well, I'm going to call this week and let him hear my voice and know that Aka Judy is really a real person. 100, you know my
video. Oh, yeah,
videos.
I know you are. I've heard your videos before. Yeah, I've heard your videos before.
Okay, and we both been attacked by the same person, so, you know, we ain't going to that. But I'm
yeah,
a big no,
that's here
Grandma
there.
Don't get angry. Grandma gets even, and just stay tuned. That's all I have to say. I can't call
right.
no more. I can't.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to
yeah.
get off the phone. I just want to tell you I love you guys, and you keep doing the most wonderful job that you're doing.
Aww.
Oh, I
well,
want to tell you this one thing to make you laugh.
Yeah.
Remember
okay.
when the Oklahoma, the hurricane, what was it, tornado?
Yes, ma'am.
The kids
yeah.
asked the teacher, could they sing, Yes, Jesus Love Me? Now, remember,
mm-hmm.
God was thrown out the schools, right?
Uh-huh.
That day, God was back in the school when that tornado was acting
yeah.
up. They
oh,
were
yeah.
praying.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
finds praying.
The Lord when it was death and destruction. No matter who you
are. I said, now,
course.
Tornado or when
of
you
course.
Get put in jail, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm a Christian. Uh-huh. Hey, you just had the strip club tricking. And now you're
yeah.
a Christian. Oh, yeah,
okay,
no.
Sally, I'm going to listen to the rest of the show. Have a good,
okay,
good day.
Okay, so
bye-bye.
You have a good
day.
All right, let me get to the next
bye.
Call here. Eric Cole, 615, you're on the show. What's your name?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, hi. This is my first time calling, actually first time listening, and I'm actually working out. I didn't mean to press 1 if I did.
Okay, well, if you're
okay.
listening, sister, that's no problem. Or you got something to say while we got you on? Go ahead.
Do I have something to say? Oh, my God, that's why I listened. I was like, oh, my goodness, I got to listen to this show. But I am working out, so I'm trying to get to a place where I can stop real quick. Okay.
So
before you go on,
hold on. You're a black woman, correct?
Excuse me?
You're a black woman, correct?
You said am I? As far as I know.
A black woman.
Oh, you're a black woman.
Okay, my
so
mom and my daddy black.
Okay, so, well, I'm saying that for a reason. So, see, there are some brothers that say black women don't want to work out. You want them to work out. Continue.
Oh, yeah, I work out every day, sometimes twice a day. Love yoga, all that good stuff. Okay. All
right.
So, I don't even know where to start. Let's see, what had happened was I was...
Uh-oh.
Born it. That's how the story starts, right? But
yeah,
I was born and raised in the church. Almost every elder man in my family was a Baptist minister. We had gospel quartets in the family, traveling around the world singing Jesus this and all that. That's all I knew. And when my daughter went off to college, far away, like thousands of miles away, and I was by myself. And I never really got into the dating game, but when she left, I was stuck alone and started asking questions to myself, for myself. You know, why am I believing this? What does this mean to me? How does this really apply to my life? You know, I didn't choose this direction for me. It was chosen and picked for me, and I just kind of grew up in it. And the funny thing is, along that path before my daughter left to go to college, I actually went to seminary. I'm only one semester away from being having a bachelor's in theology, but while I was there, I realized that was not for me.
Yeah, I mean, let me ask you a question about that theology, okay? You got what did you get? You get your associates, you get your bachelor's. What did you get?
Bachelor's in theology.
But you felt probably say you should learn that for yourself at least. You know, that way you have the knowledge. And when once you got this knowledge for yourself,
I think that if someone is curious about the Christian traditions, curious about the Bible or specific aspects of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
then I think that, you know, going to class, and maybe not necessarily getting a degree. I don't think that, you know, someone earning a degree means that you receive knowledge. I think that if you're interested in it, you know, there's nothing wrong with signing up for a class or two without the intent of getting a degree. As long, you know, your intent is knowledge. I say go for it.
Yeah, see, I did the same thing when I was around 18. I found out a lot of things people said to me were straight up lies and half truths.
Oh yeah.
Once
absolutely.
I started learning for myself, and then I had got my bachelor's in theology also just for myself. You know, just so I can learn it for myself.
Yeah.
That's why it's kind of hard for people tell me these half truths because I'm like, okay, where you found that at? You know, because well, a lot of these preachers, you preach these watered down sermons, and I can't stand to hear them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but you know, the story kind of shifts and the story kind of changes because when I started asking those questions and I began to seek spirituality as opposed to religion and theology, my life started changing. And mm-hmm. what happened for me is when I walked into a church, whether it was a predominantly black church like the ones I grew up in or whether it was a multicultural church, I still felt the same way, and it was very uncomfortable. One of the things I remember going to both a predominantly black church and a predominantly white church and even a Hispanic church, and there was a song, and some of the lyrics were like, we thirst for you, we're desperate for you, you know, I'm nothing without you. You know, it just kept going on and on, and I started getting sick. I was like, why are we singing this when we are one with the one? Why I couldn't get with that. And then I can also remember looking around the church and seeing, you know, out of maybe 50 people, you have one man. You know, on a Wednesday night in Bible study, sometimes the only man would be the pastor. There were no men, and there were so many single women, and I didn't want that life.
Yeah.
But that was across the board. I mean, you step into, for me, in the South, you step into a predominantly black church. I don't care if they consider themselves a mega blast-off church or a little small house church. 9 times out of 10, that's what you're going to find. Mm-hmm. Not a lot
Most of the church is a bunch of black women. Okay, and this is the killing part about it for me, and I said this. How is it that, not all, of course, but a lot of sisters would not let a black man come in her house and run stuff. But you'll sit there and let a man at a church tell you everything, what to do, give your money sacrificially and everything, and you would do it. But if a black man say, hey, I got a business idea, you know, I think it'd be good. Oh no, I ain't doing that. Isn't that bad?
Yeah, I know.
You know what? But you know why a lot of that is, though? It's because they look at people in positions of power, and they consider a minister,
yeah,
a preacher,
power.
They consider him as being in a position of power. So, so guys like that, the guys like that, they'll actually welcome him into their homes and take suggestions and stuff like that from him. Whereas a regular black guy, you know. They'll ignore him all day.
You're absolutely right, because that's how I used to be. I felt like the only way you would get my number is you had to have minister in front of your name. And if you didn't have that, you had to be extremely active in the church. Well, like I said, things change, and I would prefer to be connected with a man who is not in the church.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel personally.
I mean, for me, that I almost want to say that's the first question. Wait a minute, hold on. What do you do in the church? Do you go to church? I don't know. I've seen a lot. It just doesn't fit with my lifestyle anymore. Like I said, my focus now is more on spirituality than anything, and
I hear people say that a lot. What do you define as spirituality?
For me, it's more my relationship with what I consider to be my source.
So basically, what you're saying is what I believe. In other words, you need to focus more on your relationship with God instead of religion. Religion is protocol. Do this, do that. Come to church this time. And that doesn't mean anything with your relationship with God. That's like going through the motions in a relationship with a woman. You know what I'm saying? But there's no love there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Y'all live in the same household, but it don't mean nothing.
Yeah, because for me, religion is, okay, if we look at an example with, I'll just use an example with a Muslim woman, because I'm really close, I have a close friend who's Muslim, and in the Christian tradition, I don't know if the someone in the community would actually reach out to help people in the Muslim community. I mean, I know here, like I said, in the South, things are different, but that's not something that happens on a regular basis, but that's religion. But spirituality says, I don't care who you serve. I love you just because you are, for real.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that's what spirituality is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's a good definition. Like I said, my opinion is more so about the relationship with God than anything else. And that's
and relationship
where,
with yourself.
Yeah, and you're talking about, you know, should Christian people ever help a Muslim? You're called by the Bible to treat your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. If you treat your neighbor as yourself, that means it doesn't matter if they're Muslim. It don't matter if they're atheist. It don't matter if they any of that. I mean, there's people that people treat as, you know what I'm saying?
Right, but that's not. But you know that they may be in the Word and they may be priests, but we know that that's not happening.
Right.
Well, it doesn't happen because not enough people enforce it. And a lot of times, their leadership. Let me tell you something. The way things work, whether it's your leadership in your home, leadership at the church, leadership in government, whatever, most things trickle down. It starts off with that leader. You can have a great leader or whatever, and they can do wonderful, and the people will do wonderful. Then you can have a leader who basically just suck and offer themselves, and the people will suffer. It happens like that all the time. Give example, you can have a good man in your house, and you will do great, your kids do great, or you can have a man that sucks and do wrong, and he'll get you caught up in stuff, do your kids wrong. It all works like that. It all filters down at the end of the day on what's going on. So if that pastor, you got a pastor of the church don't feel passionate about the word like he should and worried about collecting them tithes, which I really want to get into them tithes. You're going to collect them tithes instead of worrying about,
the advice,
stuff.
So can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
Yes, I want to add to that what you just said, the tithe. I went to a white church and a black church. When I went to the black church, everybody was asking for tithe, money, or passing a bucket around or like a plate. No, yeah, it was a bucket. But when I went to a white church, they just had stuff to sell, you know, some drinks and whatnot, but no one asked for money or donations. I find that.
Oh, they ask. They ask. They just don't ask 80 times like black folks do in their church.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have like three different collection times and stuff like that.
Right, and you can't forget about the builder funds.
And they don't get
the
builder.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. See,
okay,
like,
but
they
don't. Okay.
Yeah, you can't forget about
that. And they're not so stressed on how they do it. So they have to.
Somebody's breaking up real bad. I don't know who you are, but like I said, I start going through meeting calls and I see that and I find out who it is. But hold on a second. I got somebody been holding on here for way too long. Give me a second.
Thank you. Can I ask you a really quick question?
You sure can, sister.
Okay, I'm not in front of my computer. Like I said, I'm working out. And I don't even know, what is the name of this show? And how often do y'all come on? What's your name? I mean, what's the name?
Okay. Okay, well, Ms. Gabriella, you can introduce yourself to her.
Okay. You put me on the spot.
Yeah, I'm
all
putting
right.
you on the spot.
Hi, I'm Gabriella. I'm the co-host. You know.
Okay.
And we do our show once a week, and it's 2 hours long, and it's, what is it, 9 p.m. Central Time?
Well, 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Central, and, you know, 7, whatever time zone, just go from there, you know, but it's always 8 p.m.
Okay.
Central. The days may, usually we try to do it Monday nights, unless something happened in my schedule, then I may have to change it, but I always let, you know, people know in advance, so we've been kind of sticking to the Monday night. At 8 p.m.
Okay,
Central
and it's
time.
Not about the black church every night, right? I mean, every
No. Go to our shows. I mean,
okay, y'all just changed the topic. Okay,
I go in about everything, not just that.
Okay. Well, I don't want to hold up the other people, but thank you so very much. And yes, I plan to keep listening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, sister, for calling in. Appreciate it. Eric code 347. You're on the show. What's your name?
Hello, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Gabby. It's Imani.
Oh, I knew you were going to call.
You know I was waiting.
Hey, what's up?
I'm sorry if I
yeah, Alicia's on too.
Bit,
so
yeah,
we got the community on the phone. This is fun.
Yeah. I'm a bit sick right now, so I hope I'm coming out clear. But yeah, I just wanted to make a comment on the subject because things like this, like, I really love to talk about because being a person who I was raised kind of like, I was kind of raised in between where, raised by my mother, I was more of an agnostic person, not really involved in a church. But on my father's side, I was trying, like, they were trying to raise me as a Jehovah's Witness. And just for the bit of backstory, when I was 16 or so, I didn't have an interest in being a Jehovah's Witness or anything because we, like, no offense, but we kind of know how Jehovah's Witness tend to be sometimes. And my father was the example of a hypocritical Christian. And so, long story short, drama happened, and I ended up stopped going to any sort of religious things. I stopped believing in God. I tried to reject God. And it wasn't really until maybe 3 years ago or so, which, I mean, how many years was that? It was maybe, like, maybe 5 years, maybe, that I was just, you know, not a Christian or whatever, and I was, like, always trying to be so against it and whatnot because based on how my father was acting and stuff like that. And so I didn't get into the church until, yeah, like, about 5 years later, and I started going to an apostolic Pentecostal church, and there was when, like, it took my interest, and eventually I did get baptized in Jesus' name, and of course, according to the apostolic teachings, I was filled with the Holy Spirit 2 years ago. And so being a new Christian and learning so much more about the Word of God and also observing, you know, the church community, especially the Black church community, I'm from Brooklyn, and so I've been to two different churches since I've been into the whole Christianity thing. And the first church that I went to was kind of like the mother church of the church that I am now, and it's a much bigger church and big membership and everything. And there, you know, at first I felt welcome because I was brought there by a friend of mine from high school, but I was only really connected to that person. I was never, I mean, there was maybe one or two people that I connected to in that church as far as, especially like youth and some of the older women. But overall, I was not connected at all to a lot of the people, especially as I continued my search into Christ. A lot of drama had popped up involving myself where I had found out, like, some of the youth was talking about me and making assumptions about me, you know, because my friend who brought me to the church was a male, and so immediately they, you know, they assumed that, oh, I was just after the D and, like, trying to get with him and things like that, and, you know, and calling me or assuming that, you know, that I had some sort of spirit, like a Jezebel spirit within me, and it was really offensive to me. And also, I've also had other drama too as well where I had one husband who was not considered safe. His wife was considered safe, who, when his wife had left the state for maybe 2 weeks or so, he tried to come on to me and tried to go on a date and basically, you know, trying to get with me. And that was, like, a really stressful time for myself. So I think in contrast to the church that I'm in now, the church that I'm in now is much smaller. It's much more concentrated as far as the intimacy with everyone in the church and the amount of love and support that you get from everyone in the church. And I think the issue with, well, I don't want to say Black churches because honestly it's not just Black churches. I think the thing with quote-unquote Black church is the simple fact that anything negative is always seen in the spotlight with Black people. Whenever you think of church, you don't you know, sometimes when you think of, like, okay, let's say, okay, we think of a white church or whatever, we think of these, you know, either, like, the real serious Bible thumpers who are just, like, you know, like Westboro Church or whatnot, or we'll think of them, like, super passive, super peaceful, let's love Jesus every day type of, you know, type
when
of
you get
people.
A, when huh? you get a chance, I like to say something to advice, guy.
Okay. And, okay. And so, and then stereotypically, the black church is always like this rowdy church who, you know, they get down in church and all this stuff and they be all hype and whatnot. And, you know, it's just another display of an example of the uppity blacks doing such and such and such. And the thing is that the sad state about a lot of the black communities is that a lot of people play into the stereotype and don't really make an example.
Yeah, true.
Especially with the hypocrisy that goes around in the church, you know, it's not just simply a black problem, but it's also, if you do study the Bible and stuff, you know, it's also a prophetic thing, where in 2 Timothy, you know, they were just like, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, and they will accumulate for themselves the teachers in accordance to their own desires. So a lot of people aren't really seeking the word of God. They're rather just, you know, wanting to play into an image or going to a place where they could worship, but they're not really truly living a lifestyle. Now, if you're a Christian, you believe in Christ, but a lot of people will say that they believe in Christ but and consider themselves Christians, but they do anything but, which, you know, which is obviously hypocritical because, you know, Jesus is the word in flesh. And so if you're not following the word of God, then who are you following, you know? And then you're just sitting there for a show the whole time. And
sister, I agree with you on that. A lot of people just want to hear their ears kind of tickled.
Yeah.
And they don't want to really hear. This is where we go back to, they not want to hear the truth. And, you know, so I'm going to have to let this, I'm going to have to get some more calls in, sister, and let this other sister make a comment. So, Sister Barbara, you got a comment before I take some more calls?
Yes, I do.
Sitting here. Okay, go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, I do. We talking a lot about the problems of the black church. Do anybody have any suggestions on how we can better the black church? I have quite a few. Is it any?
Oh,
I have plenty of suggestions for it.
I have a lot.
You know, I think churches should have you know, they say the minutes and what's been going on in the church about the last Sunday service. They had it in the bulletin. I think churches should list what they're doing for the community. They need to have classes in the churches to help the young people, marriage, drinking, alcoholism, helping somebody that's about to be homeless. I believe in stuff like that. Ain't no, we going to come to church and sit down and see who got the best outfit on, who putting the most in the bowl. Let's do something to help the people. That's the church I'm talking about. Let me run some of these churches. That's what I'm talking about.
I definitely agree with that.
Deacons and leaders who are willing to step up. Because, see, a lot of deacons and leaders in these churches, what they're doing, they're just at the whole position, but they're not doing what they're not holding the pastor in about accountable. See, that's the problem.
It's foolishness.
There's no transparency. Yeah, that's what it is in these churches. No transparency. What are they doing with their tithe money?
You go to church and see the young girls. They got the dance sessions in the church where the little girls are twirling around the things and this and that. That's all cute and dandy. But what are you doing to help the community? What are you doing to help your congregation, these families? That's what I'm about.
Sense. My thing is, it'll make no sense. You got these terrorists right around the church.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? They hanging around the church every day. You're like, how can you have all this crime, but you got a church on every corner? I don't get it.
It's just for show. It's just pure foolishness.
Even the preacher
don't
even live
in that community. My church bigger than yours. My church bigger than yours, and my family coming in. Let them see my grand church and how big my congregation is. That's foolishness.
Showcasing.
Exactly.
It's
just a grand
what
are
you
thing.
Doing to help your
oh,
people
and don't get me started on praise
dances.
Just like you just thought you were talking about the little girl twirling around. I to be honest with you, the church that I go to, the only thing they do is, I mean, we sing out a hymn book, and it's two songs and a prayer. Then we do communion. Then we have a 30-minute sermon, and then we go home. A lot of churches, they don't even have that structure. Like, when I've gone to these black churches, they'll have the girls coming up and do the little praise dance. Then they'll have the musical performances. And then they have the pastor's wife will come up and she'll say something. And then we'll have testimonies. And then you'll be in the church for about 4 or 5 hours. And you haven't learned a thing.
That's right.
And it's all right
about the praise dance, but that praise dance ain't helping these young girls. I'm about helping the young people. The praise dancing is not helping these young girls to go out here into the community. Do something to help the young girls.
That's right. They ain't helping them at all.
They already know how to dance. They already know that.
They doing that on YouTube and World
Star.
Yeah, they doing it.
Yeah, they're doing it.
The worst females I've seen in my life is the chick to say, "Oh, I love God." Get a cooking class going in the church.
Get a cooking class. Show the young girls how to cook. Got them in there twirling. They already know how to dance.
You might want to tell them to go to hell. Tell them to cook.
That's what I'm talking about.
People twerk in church now.
You know what? It doesn't surprise me because some of these black pastors are sitting up there sleeping with them women, so it doesn't bother me at all. Let me get on to this call. Eric code 215. They've been holding for a minute. What's your name?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing? What's your name, brother?
My name is Brother James. I'm calling from Philadelphia.
All right, Philly, what's going on out there in Philly, man?
Yeah, Philly is in the building.
Philly's in the building. What's your comment, brother?
Well, you know, I'm just listening to the show, and, you know, I hear a lot of things being said pertaining to the church.
Okay.
And like what the last caller said, it's a church on every corner, you know, but it's nothing doing, ain't doing nothing to help the community.
That's
and
right.
Most of those in the city communities are in turmoil. And I would say that a lot changed post-integration because we know that during segregation, the church was a powerful force in the black community.
Exactly.
And they dealt with a lot of the issues, you know what I'm saying, pertaining to us as a people. And I think after the civil rights movement and post-integration, the church began to change, you know what I'm saying? They began to take a lot of government funding. So when they began to take a lot of government funding, certain things they can't really do in the political spectrum as opposed to before post-integration. And that's in the, I think it's 501c3 or something to that extent. You know, when they're getting funded from nonprofit organizations, they kind of follow the format. And most of those nonprofit organizations are against kind of like political activism. You know, that's what they categorize it as. So you have this shift in, you know, what the preacher is talking about. He sticks specifically to like religious dogma, I will label it. But he don't really apply the religion to our situation that's going on in our community. So, you know,
and that's something they used to do, and this is why I said that the church used to do this. They always did this. That they were very, like, for instance, Martin Luther King came out of the church. A lot of great leaders came out of the church. Okay, period. They did. They met at the church. They talked about the Klan at the church. Everything was at the church. That's why the Klan was bombing our churches, because they knew that was our meeting places.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
They can't do that nowadays, though. They can't talk about those churches, which most are receiving government funding in one form or another, they can't really talk about, like, you know, too much of the political. They can't really do that.
Well, my thing is this: if you're supposed to be preaching the word of God, you preach the word of God, and if the government of man say, "I will not give you money," if I give you money, you can't say this. I say, "Well, I don't want your money because God's called me to preach His word and not filter it." And you're not my God. And you're not filtering His word, so I don't need your money. God will provide. Now, obviously, that preacher don't believe in God's faithfulness. Obviously, because God is supposed to provide for you.
I mean, well,
on top of providing for you.
That is most preachers then, because like you said, it's a church on every corner. You know what I'm saying? So. What's the problem? Now, you have the rise of what they call now prosperity gospel. This is all new shit. This stuff came later.
I was just talking
about
Yeah. That's prosperity preaching. But you know what's funny, brother, about this prosperity preaching? How is it that you preaching prosperity, but only the guy preaching it is the one that has prosperity? Everybody else is broke. It's a joke.
Thank you.
Right. So in the land of prosperity, they preaching prosperity. You know what I'm saying? So they shifted from political consciousness to prosperity gospel.
Amen.
Telling God's people, hey, man, look, basically what they're saying in just in a way with the Bible, hey, get money. That's all they're saying. You want to live
money,
good?
Yeah.
Get money. That's what they say. They're not talking about none of the things in the Bible, none of the truths. They're not addressing the single parent epidemic in the black community. You're not addressing these high STD rates. You're not addressing joblessness. You're not addressing crime. You're not addressing nothing. But you telling everybody to get money. So everybody
you can go into
right. If you was to address those problems, you know what you would run smack dead into.
Exactly.
Oh, I know what I run into. You're running to black folks. You're running to black folks coming at you with pitchforks. Because when I brought up this topic, they have people online coming at me. It ain't the church's fault. They can't do this. They can't do that. I mean, they're coming at me about it. Say, hold on. You mean to tell me these churches ain't doing what they're supposed to do?
They can do more than what they're doing.
Yeah, they can do more than what they're doing. I got plenty of solutions.
Yeah,
on what
and you
doing.
Know something else? I actually went to a church, another church, and the pastor got in a helicopter and left.
I should mention that there was a church that I had visited before. We were about to walk to the church, but then there was some young men that were offering to give us a ride on their golf cart. And keep in mind that this distance was no longer than maybe, let's just say, maybe it was about 50 feet, 50 to 100 feet. That was not that far for us to have to use a golf cart to walk to get from our car to the church. But they were trying to make it seem like they were just this huge mega church. And I don't understand the purpose of that.
Well, let me get to some more of these calls, Ms. Gabrielle. Look, I got a lot of people holding in here today, which is a good thing. Area code 817, you on the show.
Oh, hello.
What's your name?
Can you hear me? Oh, my name is Anne. This is the second time calling the show, and you're having a very interesting conversation today. And first of all, I want to thank you for your show. It's very positive, and it's unlike the other shows out there where they're always using cuss words and stuff. But anyway, let's go back to the topic. You were trying to understand how the black church has failed the black community, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's
Hello?
What we were discussing.
Okay, so here's my view on that. I personally wouldn't call myself a Christian, but I respect, you know, Christian people, religious people. I respect them, and I understand how religion, Christianity in particular, can contribute to the community. So I was raised in what you may call a white church here in America, the Anglican Church, but here they call it Christ Couple Church. But anyway, to go back to the topic, living here in America, I've noticed that the black church has, I mean, I studied history, and I studied American history, black American history, even before I came here. So I have the knowledge of people like Martin Luther King.
What is her nationality?
I'm from Malawi in Africa.
Okay.
But I know that Martin Luther King came from the church, and a lot of, you know, civil rights leaders from the 60s, they came from the church, and they did so much more for the community to, you know, uplift the black community and, you know,
there
goes the
story. You had times has changed.
Fight for equal rights. But now, fast forward, nowadays, I know Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, they worked with Martin Luther King. But nowadays, I'm sorry if I'm going to offend anybody, I just don't think those guys are working for the black community anymore like they used to.
Oh, they sold. I'm sorry. It's the truth. They sold out.
And I think the black church can do so much because there's really, from my observation, there's really something is not right in the black community. And most of those problems, they
how is Christianity in Maui?
Oh,
is that same thing going on?
People are too religious over there. I don't like it personally because of, you know, how Christianity came over. I don't like it.
we had our own religions and stuff, but it's like they've been enslaved. I don't want to go there. This is another topic. But I respect people who believe in something higher than themselves. So in that case, I think the black church right here in America, like in the inner city, my observation is that they can do so much better. Like the other lady I heard, she was talking about teaching young girls how to cook, how to be ladies. They don't have to be, like, in your face. Oh, don't act like this. They can just, you know, make it more, you know, more attractive to the young girls, 15-year-olds, 15-year-olds who are out there dancing, twerking all over the place instead of learning how to be ladies and future mothers. I don't know if you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes, ma'am. I know exactly what you're trying to say.
They can have cooking, you know, cooking lessons, sewing, all different kinds of trades that they can learn.
I'm just saying something positive, something
that's positive, going to carry them through life. Young girls, something for these young girls to do. And here, I've been, you know, following your radio for quite a while. I have a baby, like a 5-month-old baby, and I realized that my baby's going to grow up in America. She's going to be a black woman in America. And I wouldn't want to see her go through, you know, teenage pregnancy and all that stuff, you know, without having a sense of direction. So I'm trying to learn all these things that I can, you know, help my child understand who she is, you know, be proud of who she is, a black woman, but not be, you know, a stereotype, you know what I mean? So the black church can do so much, as in, because they get so much money, like the Careful Dollar, TD Jacks, they make so much money. They are so rich. They can do, I know they do some positive work, but when I listen to the sermons, you know, by the way, those guys are so big in Africa, Careful Dollar and TD Jacks and all those people. Yeah.
Wow.
They're
doing so much cross seas. Won't they try to start right here in their home in the United States and help these people? Ain't nothing wrong with helping people cross.
That's the same thing I said about Oprah. I said, why is she going to go open up a school for black girls in Africa and open up black school girls
right
here?
I know.
That's right. Help out Chicago. Work on that.
I know. It's like they can do so much over here with the money and the power that they have, but they're always teaching about getting money.
Tax write-off or some type of incentive that they're getting for going across them seas.
But I think a lot of time they're doing it also because a lot of time we have to get education that are free over here, and we're not even taking advantage of the education that we can get right here. So, I mean,
when you mention education, let me tell you something. The issue, like, and that's another story. Black folks feel education is white. And they feel being ignorant is black. And so Afrocentric, because you're educated, you know, you don't want to be white.
And so you see a lot of those people that even come to the country over here, those people, they're, you know, they value. Whereas a lot of us, you know, even with speaking correctly, going to school, like you said, we view that as being white, and it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous.
It's very ridiculous. Many people fought and died for us to get an education, and we don't want it.
Exactly.
We don't want it, because we want to be a real nigga. You know what I'm saying?
And walk around with pants hanging down.
I want to be a hoochie.
It's awful.
Instead of getting an education.
Yeah. It's a shame you got to dumb yourself down just to fit a certain stereotype.
Miss Gabriella was talking about that before the show. It's like you got to dumb yourself down to talk to black folks.
Yeah, you do.
Because if you talk with too much sense, they ain't going to listen to you.
No, they look at you like an alien.
You
got to
throw,
you gotta throw
an edge to you or something where they can relate to you. Because I was telling Miss Gabriella, thinking about, you know, showing some things with statistics, with STDs and stuff like that, really getting to stats. And then we were discussing it, and you're like, they wouldn't even listen to that. It's the truth. They wouldn't.
No. Uh-uh.
You know, you could be showing them truth. Like, this is the truth from statistics, this, that. Nope.
I specialize in that. I try to help a lot of young girls. They don't want to hear it. They still out there popping babies and twerking it and sexing it up. I'm trying to turn them on to some good stuff, you know, letting them know the statistics, what's all out there, stuff that they mama not doing.
Yeah, oh, they don't want to hear that.
They don't want to hear that. No, they're allergic to that.
Until they get that first herpes outbreak.
Ain't nobody got time for that, I guess.
Yeah, that's what we want to listen in.
Well, no, they don't want to wait. They want to wait until they're 30 years old, got 5 kids, and then they want to sit there. And then they, like, when they wind up, that's when they want to start listening. But if by then, it's too late.
Yeah, too late.
Exactly. Well, let me see here. I got trying to get everybody in here on here. They were trying to see this person. He's been holding for a hot minute. Area code 336, you on the show.
Yo, hello?
Yeah, what's up, bro? Hello? What's your name?
Yo, what's up, man? This is Ray, man. Yo, I just called. Say I was a fan of the show, man, and I dig what y'all doing. I also want to send out some love to my black brothers and sisters out there, you know, the hustlers, the baby mamas, the grandmamas, all my people on lockdown.
You
I love
a lot
y'all.
Of you got a lot of feedback, brother.
You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, but you probably listen to the show on your computer or something. I kept hearing feedback.
You hear me now?
Oh, I hear you, but I say I'm hearing the feedback from your computer.
Can you, like, pause the show? Because it sounds like the show is playing on your computer.
Hello?
Yeah, got you.
You still here?
Yeah, Liv. What's
okay, can you mute your computer quickly, or please?
All right, got to take care of it.
No.
Okay, well, but yeah, okay, here we go. Now, let me go to the next call here. Area code 202, you on the show?
Hello?
Yeah, whoever has their show playing.
Hello?
I figured it out who it was. Yeah, how you doing, bro?
Yeah, what's up? This is Son Goku. That's my Facebook name. Chad told me, you know, call into the show.
What's up, Goku?
Yeah, what's up? So, like, the black church, it's
yes,
full
sir.
Of incompetent Negroes.
Incompetent Negroes. Wow.
There you go.
So it's no surprise black women and, you know, black people in general, like, in disarray, in a hot mess we in right now.
Why is it a surprise?
I mean, it's not a surprise. The preachers are thinking about themselves, you know, lying at the pockets, you know, pimping black people, especially black women.
They pimping black women. Because if you any church you go to in America that's black, at least 80% of the congregation going to be black women.
Mm-hmm.
And like saying, for the life of me, and for the life of me, brother, still nobody can answer my question. Why is it that this one black man in the church can tell you what to do literally, but if you're a black man come in the house and try to tell you what to do, you'll do everything but punch him in the mouth, kick him, stab him, shoot him, and everything else. He better not tell you nothing.
The pastor is like a pimp.
No, I can't say go
he,
with him.
He, that pastor runs the women. He runs them.
He
and it's not his fault.
He's the only one running the women. The men at home running them too. It's a man. You keep it real now.
They're looking at that nigga in the church and man at
the
home.
The pastor running the black women and the man at home running them. Keep it real now.
I don't know. I don't know what man. I don't know about all that. And half these females can't even get
know,
a man.
We were just talking about that other day, how the women let the black men do them all any kind of way.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
But another thing too, another to answer your question, Noah, advice. One thing too, I think a lot of those women that, you know, come into the church, a lot of those women too, you got to think they're emotionally hurt, you know, so they're very easy targets by the preacher, you know, because they're already vulnerable. You know, because a lot of them may have been raped. You know, they may have been beaten. They may have been, you know,
used and abused.
They may have been verbally attacked. I mean, it's just, you know, that when they come to the church, you know,
that's why they
easy
need classes in there to build up their self esteem and all of that.
It's easy for the preacher. It's all the women that come are fair game for the preacher.
Yeah,
it's funny how black women go to church when they have problems, but they never go to church before they have problems.
No, but black men do the same thing when they lose their job.
Yeah,
when they
have
in
some
prison.
Negroes that do it.
Well,
yeah,
actually,
you know, they're
in prison. Show, there's actually three reasons why black men go to church. One is to kiss up to woman and get some. Two
That's
is to down low cats and they want to get a new breeding ground. Or three, to just coddle lions, just doing what the woman say. Simps.
Yep. There you go.
Or the man actually wants to go because, you know what I'm saying, because now some men actually want to go. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with taking your family to church, you know, and y'all have, because me personally, this is what I enjoy. I enjoy, and I've just been like this, you get up, go to church with your family, you know, get you something to eat afterwards, whatever. Just spend the whole day doing stuff with your family. Sunday is a good day for that. Okay, and that's what it should be about.
That's what my family does.
That's cool.
I noticed that single men don't do that, though. Like, single men don't really go to church. I usually see men, like,
men
go to church, it's married men.
Yeah.
And some of them doing it for show, because the woman behind them been doing it to make the family look good.
It could
at home with a beer in one hand and a remote in the other hand.
Some men don't. Yeah, you're right. Some men don't want to go at all. Let me see how long, 'cause I got some more people on here. I'm trying to see if I can get them in. Area code 619, you're on the show. Area code 619? I guess they just listen. I got to go to the next person. See who we got. Call back. Area code 661, you're on the show.
Peace, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What's your name?
Hey, what's going on? This is Tony.
Okay, how you doing?
How you doing? I just want to chime in on something you guys were talking about earlier.
Okay.
As far as how to communicate with these young kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got to speak a language, or you have to speak in a way in which they understand.
And which is?
I don't want to say speak Ebonics or nothing like that, but you got to be able to, you know, you have to be able to transfer your
speak
message
like
in a way that, you know what I'm saying? Huh?
Speak like a pimp?
Nah, you ain't got to speak like that either. I'm just, you know, you have to be able to speak in a way in which these kids understand. I mean, you know, older people don't talk the same way as younger people talk. So nine times out of ten, you know, your moms come in the room and your grandmoms or your old auntie say something to you, you know, you kind of roll your eyes and get fidgety and all that, you know.
But a lot of times, if you want to get in touch with the younger generation, you got to kind of stay in social media, see what they're looking at, and, you know, how you can relate to them in some way, form, or fashion. Because there's nothing new under the sun. We all know that. So it's not really that hard to actually engage them. I mean, you have to see where they're at, but you can engage them. Yeah, I don't think you have to really dumb yourself down. Sometimes you have to know how to speak to them.
The bottom line is, you just have to give them that information. A lot of these young people don't even know what's going on far as health wise and other.
Yeah,
they have no clue or no idea the risk that they are taking, the jeopardy they putting themselves in. They have no clue.
Give me a second. Somebody watching TV and I'm hearing your whole program, wherever it is.
Oh, my bad. I'm watching South Park.
Boy, stop watching that mess, man. You need to watch Family Guy, not South Park.
No, y'all need to be listening to this show right now.
Yes, we do.
All right. Anyway, you know, so, you know, I'm hearing all that. Let me see. Hold on. I got somebody else. Man, these calls are, I like to try to get all the calls in. Like, I ain't got to go off of tonight. I guess area code 111. I guess you're calling from Skype or so. You on the show? I guess you're not answering. So, continue on. Let's see who else has been holding here for a while that I haven't got to yet. What we got here? Area code 832. You on the show?
How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? What's your
Hello?
Name? Yeah, what's up, man?
LAR Movement.
LAR, rather. I just want to say a few things about the church situation.
Uh-huh.
One is, God is in the people and not in the church, and people have forgotten that. Another is, if you want solutions for the church, it's funny how nobody ever says, why don't you take their tithe money and maybe just maybe buy a strip center and have a business for some of the people who actually can run businesses in the church, or an apartment complex for some of the church members who can pay at discounted rates.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the irony is, we don't want, we want prosperity, but we only want preachers to prosper. And it's a problem because old preachers used to have jobs. And if you're a preacher and you don't have a job, you're not really a preacher. You're a spokesman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the church is going to have – the people first and foremost are going to have to actually read the Bible and stop fidgeting, flipping back and forth in pages and taking somebody's word as if they know what they're talking about. When you can read the top of the page and see if it was out of context, what you're reading.
But you said a cuss word, brother. You said a cuss word. Black folks don't like to read. It's Facebook posts, Twitter posts, and what's on WorldStar and whatever. They don't like to read. Come on. I'm not lying. Black folks don't like to read.
That's why I kept it
in.
And that's why they keep getting misled, because they don't want to read for themselves.
They always say racist. They always say, if you want to hide something from a nigga, put it in the book.
And then if the ones that can read, they can't comprehend, just to keep it real. They can't comprehend what they're reading.
But there's a lot of them that comprehend, but then they get attacked by black folks, so they want to be white because they're reading.
No, one of the major problems is the church preaches forgiveness and not acknowledgement. So everybody can be excused of everything if you go to church, but nobody has to acknowledge what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, all these little females running around here talking about, I love Jesus. I say, if you really met him, you would not like him. I say, and obviously you didn't read what he said, because that's what got Jesus in trouble with people, is because he kept talking about them and telling them about themselves, and they didn't like him for it.
That's another issue. People care more about Jesus than they do God. They got it backwards. You can't tell me you love Jesus. Jesus loved his Father, which was God. So how you going to say, if you saying you love Jesus, have you skipped who he was working for?
Well, I would like to say something. Going back to the other caller, that I think he's from Philly, where he had mentioned something earlier about the preacher's not preaching the word because they would get in trouble. Well, you know, that's why I tell people all the time, if you read the Bible, Jesus didn't care about who feelings he hurt. He told them. And he told, you remember when he went in that temple and how they was in that temple, they were gambling and everything, and he went up in there and tore that temple, turned over the tables and stuff. He didn't care about hurting people's feelings. So, see, that's what I'm telling you. Everything now has changed. People are not following the word, because if you look into the Bible, what about one of the disciples that told Jesus he would never betray him, and Jesus just turned around and told him straight up that he was going to betray him instantly. He didn't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
why
are they so focused on, you know, it's not about the people. They don't care about souls. I'm telling you, they only care about fulfilling their pockets. That's what they care about.
And it's the thing. If you research the church, like you research, you know, the book, the Gospels, look at the book of Acts, look at the epistles of Paul. The church was established to go out and do stuff, not be in the four walls and just preaching sermons and singing great songs and twirling, dancing all over the place.
Right.
He made his apostles get out there and go visit the people, visit the sick, go to the demon-possessed, go to them, not come to their church, go to them.
Right.
They didn't have time for that. They was always busy. Always moving around. They didn't sit around in the church driving a chariot full of gold or something. Them guys was busy.
Escalades
in the hood and these people are on welfare. How would you feel?
Right.
What
do you think about this when the pastor say, God want me to have this nice big fancy car and wear these nice suits in this big church? What do you think about that? That's foolishness.
Well, what I think about it, I think he's out of line, and I think he's out of order. To say you
That's
and
right.
only you only, no, like say God want his people to have stuff.
That's right.
And he like for instance, like, you know, like a lot of people talk about Joel Osteen, okay, and some people say some stuff about it. But do you know
right.
Joel Osteen does not get paid from Lakewood Church at all. He don't collect a dime.
He doesn't.
He said that God has blessed me enough, I don't need to collect money from the church.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I kind of see how they operate. A lot of people don't know how they operate. I know the inner workings of how they operate. Big as they
wow.
are, they do help a lot of people. And they, in the
yeah.
community, they offer counseling. Like what you're talking about, sister, they offer free marriage counseling, free mental
right.
health counseling. They
What's
give vaccines every year
right.
to the students, for the kids. They give out school supplies. They do all kind of stuff for free, not charging them. And then when you go to Lakewood, they don't take one offering. That's it. They don't beat you over the head and make you feel guilty
mm-hmm.
and say you got to give sacrificially and you're not a good Christian and let that same stuff like with that woman came to the temple. That's what a lot of black churches are on. That woman came to the temple and barely gave what she had and they were talking about it. And Jesus had said, well, she gave more than you. You know, they're judging how much she gave versus in the intent of her heart is what he looked at, not how much.
Right.
And the way
Look,
these Negroes are acting in these churches, you don't have on a Louis Vuitton purse and some Jimmy Choo shoes on as a woman, or if you don't have some Armani suit as a man, something wrong with you. That's why a lot of people don't even want to go to church. The homeless people should be able to come into church and get a meal. People who are not educated, like all them women, that's what make me mad. Give they money. But let them get in the bind for their light bill. You know what they're going to tell them? We'll pray for you that God give you the money.
That's right.
Now, hold on.
Yeah.
You remember that
exactly.
church. You want to
exactly.
cut the check
I
and say, listen,
that's
you
that's
are a tithing that's member. That's you need to pay. And pay them people bill because they're giving you tithe after tithe. Hold on. If they're giving
right.
you tithes for years, they ask you for one light bill. You can't pay their light bill for their kids.
That's
they just
right.
take them over.
Damn.
You can't do that? Come on now. But
Look,
yeah, the preacher... The preacher driving an Escalade and driving these,
uh-huh.
having these 3-piece suits on. Come on.
Exactly.
Look, I called the internet. I was on the internet where I called the church to be put on the prayer list to ask for prayer. You know that they directed me to how much money I want to give before I could have prayer.
Oh yeah, paying for the Lord.
That's
when the Lord freely gave his life, freely gave the church and free like this. Is God charging you for air you're breathing right now? Well, don't charge me for church.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's simple. And that's why I put up that post on Facebook today that I put up. I don't know if some of y'all seen it. I said if I got on YouTube right now and say, look, could y'all, you know, find in your heart to donate to me so I can get some more equipment and stuff and other things I want to do for a better viewing pleasure, they'll attack me and say, hey, I'm e-begging. But the preacher can go up there and guilt trip them to give their last to them, and they're not going to do nothing to the church at all. You just see him driving this new Cadillac, you know, the Negro Mercedes. He's driving this new Cadillac.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says nothing. The church is falling apart, but yet he's looking good. And I can understand
right.
if you're taking them tithes, and you look up and say, oh, wow, we got new programs for the kids. Oh, wow, we got a new building. Oh, wow, we got counseling services now. I mean, you see where the money's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But they would attack any one of us if we say something, if we needed something. But you know, I've seen a lot of brothers and sisters online that speak more truth and tell the truth about what's going on in society than a lot of these preachers.
I got
a hypothetical for y'all.
Okay.
What would happen if you got up in church right after the tithe and offering was given and you was walking with the people who had the money and the security guard and the cops?
What would I do if after the tithes were given, I'm walking with security?
What would happen if you gave your tithe
mm-hmm.
and they started collecting it and they started bringing it out? What would happen if you just got up from your seat and just started walking with them people while they have their baskets of money, the security guard, the cop, and the bank teller?
Mm-hmm.
probably get at you.
Yeah, they
show
sure
with
it.
Because if you just wanted to know where the money is going, because, I mean, for all you know, they could be taking that tithe money and putting it right back in their pocket.
Yeah, because like my wife's church that she's from, that guy came in there, and he asks for stuff, but you see everything this man has done to the church, and he has meetings with them and say, hey, look, this much money went to the light bill, this much money went to this, and you see the results, though, of what that man has done for that church. And I have no problem giving anything that somebody's going to do for the people and for the church. But if you're not going to do nothing, the church is falling apart. These kids have no programs. They can't go do nothing. I mean, like, let's talk about solutions. We'll talk about solutions. Let's talk about them. Chicago right now, they are in horrible problems, but yet they probably got 2,000 churches all over the place over there. Why can't all those churches get together as a collective and say, you know what, we tired of this, we're going to make the government, we're going to make law enforcement do something about this, and we're going to protest in front of that law enforcement every day till they get sick and tired of us, till we get all the media attention, because anytime black folks get together like that, the media cameras are showing up, trust me. Get together as Christian people and demand something be done. I promise you, they will stay there, persistent. Them people, I tell you, them cops will clean it up because they would not want the media attention there. That's what the church should do, right there. They don't have to pick up a gun. Let them put their love to carry a gun. Go deal with them Negroes.
I'm from the west side of Chicago. And I can tell you right now, you can't. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that in Chicago because maybe, just maybe, somebody's how can I say funneling the money from a drug operation to a church operation to clean it.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. So you're saying some Mexico drug cartel stuff? I got you.
I know. Well, there ain't a Mexico drug cartel.
No. You don't. No. I ain't say that. No, listen to what I'm saying.
I know.
The cartels. The cartels give money to the politicians. Give money to the police and this and that. If you don't work for them, you gonna have a problem. You may end up with your head cut off somewhere. That's what I'm saying. I mean, of course, they don't take it to that level like the cartels do. What I'm saying is, you saying is they pad these preachers' pockets. That's what you're saying.
They run a prostitution ring too.
You clean
the
money
up.
I can believe you.
Yeah, I can believe that. I believe it. If they're sleeping with these women, why not take the money?
That's right.
And why not address a six-month-year-old baby being killed? Why can't they take care of that?
Yeah, but you know what? Like I said in the video, if you have a bunch of brothers running around, like about 10 Chris Dorners running around the neighborhood picking them off one by one with sniper rifles, they'll be trying to take them down. I would feel bad. I'd support them. Do what?
If I went back home today, and I know a lot of these gang members who are now heads of these gangs, and I start picking them off, everybody's gonna remember me, and they gonna get on TV. Such and such was such a good kid. He is a good guy. Look, I knew councilmen, cops, city workers, secretaries of treasury. All that was gangbangers. So when you start picking off these people, they're just all of a sudden great pillars of the community. So it even a regular gang leader that you know that had a little T-shirt when they RIP him. So I mean, the problem is people love the preacher just as much as they love the pimp, just as much as they love the gangster. And until that changes, it's gonna always be the same old problem.
It ain't gonna change. It's always gonna be the same.
As Kevin, like Mike said, it'll be no hope, no change.
No change. Yep.
No, change is inevitable. Change always happens is inevitable.
Oh, it's going to be some change.
Black cities are disappearing. In D.C., where I'm from, white people moving in droves into my neighborhood. I barely see any blacks anymore.
When there's blood on the land, when there's blood on the streets, buy land. It's cheap.
Yeah. Well, let me see. Let me get another call in here. Hold on. Give me a minute. Eric Cole 314, you on the show.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? What's your name?
It's Pianchi. Hey, you know, if you got churches that's not doing what they are supposed to be doing, as you mentioned before, actually churches are supposed to take on the responsibility that people would otherwise look to the government for. Then one can merely challenge their tax-exempt status when time comes for them to renew. Put them out of business. Church is not going to exist without that ability for people to give and be able to write it off against their taxes. Churches are educational centers now, and that's what people look for them to be. I mean, that's what they want to go to. That's what they go. But if they're not, if you have a group of the public, those are public records. A group of the public don't feel the church is doing right. Then you can put them out of business by challenging their taxes and status with the IRS.
Yeah, they got a way to get around that.
So basically, what you're saying,
it's not
so
no way to get around
is,
that.
Yes, it is.
So basically, what you're saying is, if these churches would just stand up like they used to, like if they stood up against Jim Crow, racism, whatever, that people could say, you know what, okay, well, I'm going to get your taxes then taken away from you. And they don't want that.
All churches didn't stand up against, you know, Jim Crow and so on.
Of course, not all, but the ones that actually had courage and actually had the elephant balls to do so at that time period.
Yeah, there's actually something called Deacons of Self-Defense that fought against the Klan as well.
Yeah, but they wasn't associated with no church. They were associated with NAACP Robert Williams.
But they were still deacons, though.
But they were still Baptist church. Most black people back then were Baptist church, and men also Methodist, mostly Baptist. Even King came out the Baptist church. So, you know.
Well, you can become a clergy member by sending $19.95 into an internet site and send you a card. You have just as much authority as any other preacher, because governments really don't respect those. Now I want to make one other quick point. What do we mean by when we say talking white? I mean, yeah.
Being educated.
Yeah, speaking with intelligence is considered a sin in the black community. It's actually one
only
of the seven deadly sins of the black community. It's to speak with intelligence and to not have kids and whatever.
Talking white has nothing to do with proper uses of sentence, proper diction, or the pronunciation of words.
We understand that. Black people, that's what it means. If you use correct English, if you're not using ebonics or slang, and just speaking with and valuing education, that's them. That's where that word talking white came from. Because I've, you know, experienced, my son is experiencing it now. You know, that's what it means. You know, I understand that you're correct. Using correct English does not mean that you're talking white. But to the black, a lot of black people, that is what it means.
But when blacks were speaking perfect French, what happened? You know, at one point in time in this country, blacks spoke perfect French. English was not the language.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of black folks too. A lot of black folks, the older black folks in my family, spoke good French. That Louisiana
French.
It was
the French who dominated this country. So when blacks spoke proper French, well, so what happened? Now they speak proper English. If you're gonna be considered speaking white, it's when black people are sitting around the table talking about offshore oil well drilling, equity financing, boycotts and sanctions. That's talking white.
Yeah, and Negroes can't get together to do that. So,
well, people must admit,
let's just say if there's a lot of black people in a room, there's going to be a problem. I've seen it, unfortunately.
Yeah, they have
middle class Negroes in this country.
I really wish we could.
Trust me, you got the best way to say it, the educated way to say it. You have your progressive blacks and your regressive blacks, and the simple way to say it, you got black people and you got niggas. So I'll just say it two different ways.
That's black society as a whole's fault, these deficiencies that you see going on in the schools and so forth. Other ethnic groups are not going to make sure that your children can compete against them. It's not about love, morals, and doing right. It's about competition.
I don't believe in blaming white man and white this and white that. It is black folks' fault, because in spite of all that racism, our families were staying together. We didn't have no single-parent epidemic. We didn't have all these people with STDs and all that during the time of Jim Crow and the Klan and segregation. So it's black folks' fault with that.
You're absolutely right. Whites are never going to give your children the things that they need in order to compete against theirs. We talk about competition for the acquisition of wealth.
Because I'm talking about we as a group. Most species, no matter if you're animal or human, look out for their own of their kind. That's just kind of how it works.
That's right.
You know, and black folks, sometimes I get tired of them begging for people for stuff. And all these other groups come in this country and do for themselves. That's what we got to do, but that's totally different. That's totally a different show.
Hold it. You're right there, because we want to support each other, and we're so jealous-hearted, you know, and it's just pathetic.
And this goes back to the church, because the church can preach one sermon of a man or woman who does not work, does not eat. And I heard one preacher one time, he was a white preacher or whatever, and he was going off about people being on welfare and saying, that's not the will of God if you be on welfare, because you need to sit there and you need to go to work. And he was going off to his congregation about it. You know what I'm saying? I said, ooh, I said, I like this. You know, he said you should get your
behind. Well, he was telling it too.
Yeah, who was it? John Hagee, that's who it was. He was going off about welfare. And a lot of his members are white. So you can't say he was talking to black folks. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, yeah. John Hagee, he'll be going off and stuff. Well, hold on. Area code 215, you on the show?
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing? What's your name, bro?
Yeah, this is Brother James again.
Okay. I didn't know you dropped your call, because I'm just trying to see it.
I wanted to make a comment, you know, but...
Okay, just give me a quick second. Let me see. Oh, let me see. That sister, I already let her in. Let's see this person here. Erico 646, you on the show. I just wanted to make sure I had got everybody in and wanted to make a comment. Well, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
Well, about that whole thing with English, the proper English and talking white. See, the problem is that when you say talking white, you know, they try to equate that with saying you're speaking proper English. So you, on the one hand, you're equating speaking proper English as being educated. And secondly, I think that when people say that in the black community, it's more so when people go to college and get the quote-unquote education, and they come back and try to talk down to inner-city people, and then that's when they label them or retort by saying that you're speaking white. So it's a both sides going on that aspect. Because I don't equate just because a person speaks proper English that they're talking white. I don't do that, but at the same time,
you don't, but a lot of other people do, brother. A lot of people. Matter of fact, you call Uncle Tom when you call stuff out in our community, because they don't want to hear that either.
You are.
You know, I always say that black people are the only race of people that can't be told nothing.
You gotta look at the whole. You know, on the flip side, you know what I'm saying, when people try to talk down to people, you know what I'm saying, using proper English, then that's when you're going to have a reaction. So it's a little bit on both sides, from what I've seen.
It's something that y'all forgot about. Sometimes people change their God-given voice, and that was the root of that problem. Now, people did it when they was passe blanc back in the day, which means, you know, mulatto people who pass for white could actually change their voice and have a tone of a white person. Now, I understand what y'all are talking about with the education and all the other stuff, but that is the flip side of the coin, that people actually do change their God-given voice because they feel that it helps them get ahead.
Mm. Right.
Now, my thing is, I'm going to speak like myself. I'm not going to change. But I put it like this. I can get with us and talk a certain way, and it doesn't mean I'm talking... Well, I can't, you know, I'm talking ignorant. But also when I go fence on an interview or something, I know it's them there. Well, I'm not going to talk to them like I talk to us. I'm just not going to do it.
I'm going to
talk
to
a chameleon. There you go.
But see, in the black community, if you do that, like say, for instance, like you were saying, Avasha, if you say, okay, I'm going to talk to this group of people this way, but then when I get around these other people that's trying to employ me or something, possibly, you know, I'm gonna talk a whole another way. You know, the average black person will look at you like, oh, well, he's not keeping it real, you know. But I don't look at it like that. You know, I look at it like that's just being versatile. You know,
to me,
saying?
That's playing the game for what it is. The whole time you say keeping it real, you're probably broke.
Well, yeah, it's a backlash.
Well,
I
look at it like
that's,
I look at it like
that's why the topic of the show, you know what I'm saying, is that since we don't have our own businesses, that we have to do that.
That's the point right there. Black America does not have.
You know what I'm saying? Get your own stuff, and you ain't got to. Oh,
you're absolutely right. Black
but
need
but
to have,
when I'm talking
have
about talking
viable businesses.
Way, I'm not talking about, you know, you, yeah, sir. I ain't talking about no slaving. I'm talking about just speaking with proper English. That's what people get it twisted when they say, oh, you ain't keeping it real. Like, I'm speaking proper English. I'm not going to tell them words that I would tell another black man or black woman. Why am I talking to them like that? It's certain ways to have certain language for a professional setting.
But it's just like, if I was talking to if I was talking to some of my homeboys, you know, I would talk to them different than I would talk to like my parents or something. You know what I'm saying?
The place is where you spend majority of your money. Those people don't speak English anyway. Arabs don't speak English. The Asians don't speak English, so we spend majority of our money, our consumable dollars, with them.
That's the point, though, fella. When you said you would talk to your friends differently than you would talk to your elders.
Right.
It's a different level of respect. So sometimes a black man will see you talking to somebody else and say, oh, you respect him enough to talk to him with respect, but you don't respect him enough to talk to me with respect.
Right. So it is a compromise.
That's the problem.
If you want to look at it from that aspect. You know what I'm saying? That means you're compromising.
It's not compromising if you're meeting people on any level.
Certain people
you cannot talk to.
I call it.
Well, hold on, one at a time.
I call it adaptability, because it's not necessarily respect, a different respect level. It's just that different people have different ways of understanding things. You know what I'm saying? Like if you talk to elder or someone like that in a certain way, you know, they may not understand you coming at them as if you would somebody around your age. You know what I'm saying? So you have to talk to them differently. And
I think it's great that you can adapt to any situation. Some people have the ability to do that.
Exactly.
I think,
and that's what you're supposed
to
do.
Let me explain something.
Well, there's nothing wrong with speaking. It's nothing wrong with speaking more than one language. You know, in Cuba, black children can go to Cuba medical school and receive a 7-year doctor's training to become a medical doctor, where you can practice here in the United States, except for one thing: you have to be able to speak Spanish. And black children are learning Spanish that's attending these classes. Isn't it nice you could go there, and when you're done after those 7 years, you don't owe no student loans, where here in the United States you owe $200,000 or $300,000 in student loans after you get out of medical school?
Mm-hmm.
Ebonics is a language. American English is a language. Spanish is a language. There's places and times when each and every one of them is appropriate.
Exactly. And a lot of black people don't know it. Like, for instance, I went on an interview last week, okay? I sat about an hour talking to these two dudes, and they're just white dudes. And when I talk to them, I look at them directly in the eye. I don't look away. I don't look down. I don't feel unconfident in front of them. I don't care what your position is, and I talk to you straight. And I'm talking to them straight like men or whatever, and I'm having an answer for everything, and I'm making sure I use intelligent responses when I do it based on the industry that I'm in. And the guy like, oh, man, they were discussing money right then and there with me. You know, like, I'm kind of expecting them to call me, because the dude actually wanted to hire me on the spot. Because he said, I love the way you interview. He kept telling me, man, I love the way you interview. You know, it's like, because I was told when you engage another man, you talk a certain way to him, you look at him in the eye, you shake their hand firmly, and you talk business.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't go in there looking any kind of way. You don't go in there with your pants. I've seen some brothers show up to interviews at certain jobs with their pants hanging, looking like they just come from D-block somewhere. And they think about that, and they say, well, brothers can't get a job. Well, look how you came in, and how are you speaking? You know what I'm saying? I mean, so you got to know how to dress parts. You got to know how to speak the part as well. And that's why having them dudes talking about somebody like that, oh, well, you're not keeping it real, like, yeah, I am, because I'm feeding my family.
It's,
That's right.
It's not necessarily about keeping it real. It's more or less about iron sharpening iron. See, if somebody is not excellent and you dumb yourself down to be normal, they have nothing to strive to. They're going to have to step their game up. You don't have to step your game down.
Right.
Nobody, you can't be a winner by going down to the bronze level when it's convenient and then going up to the gold level when it's convenient. You want to stay a winner the whole time. So if somebody just down there and you like...
The thing is that, you know what I'm saying, we equate what y'all saying with being successful. That's the problem.
I'm not talking about successful. I'm talking about excellent.
When you look at, for example, somebody used the example of the Chinese, they don't speak proper English, yet they are successful. Why?
Because they hustle hard, boy.
Why? Because they stick together, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And they establish businesses for ourselves. We still are under this this hypnotism of America. You know what I'm saying?
You know our biggest problem, brother?
African Americans are the only ones that believe in multiculturalism.
Well, that's not killing. Multiculturalism not killing black folks. Black folks was keeping black folks at the bottom, and I started a video series on that. I'm putting a video up about that every Friday, and I talked about black businesses and horrible spending habits. Black people talk about slave reparations, for instance. Let me tell you something. That skit Dave Chappelle did about black people getting reparations, that would be exactly what would happen in America.
That's what I'm saying.
It would. I promise you that would happen.
You would have a small percentage of black folks
to start businesses. A small of them would. Like, a lot of them get their debts clear or whatever, and they'll start some businesses. But it wouldn't be the majority. When them Vietnamese came to my city where I grew up at, Port Arthur, Texas, okay? The government gave them Vietnamese people money. They was coming in there, 10 people to a house. They got their shrimp boats. They got their businesses started with that government money. Then you start seeing them one family at a time move out, and they were getting Honda. They was getting Toyota because they only support their own Asian products, which they should, okay? And then you see that one family still there, fix their house up, and all the family move out. All the family got businesses. All the family working for each other. They don't have to worry about going to work for, the white man or nothing because their own people can employ them. That's why Asians have the highest income level in America. They have the highest marriage rates. They have the lowest STD levels. All that stuff. Because them people stick together, and they're trying to keep their family right. And they want to work
something
for
themselves. It's something that we're missing. A global world has an import and export system. Every other race and ethnicity except us has somewhere to export and import things for a cheaper rate. Though people come from all walks of life in all countries in America, you come from China, you still got family in China. You come from Africa, you still got family in Africa. You come from Mexico, you still got family in Mexico. You can trade up and down. We need to trade not globally, but in our own internet network. We got black farmers, but we don't have enough black businesses to be restaurants to use their goods and services.
Blacks have to manufacture and produce. You just can't be a You can't go to Asians and buy wholesale.
Look, the biggest thing with blacks, if you want to talk about businesses, if blacks would be smart enough to say, wait a minute, we need to take that black hair care industry back, and it's our stuff, and get those billions of dollars a year, and these dudes need to trade in selling dope and start selling weave, you'll see how much money you start making. I'm telling you, sell the weave. I can care less about what you're saying. Oh, that's self-hate. Forget you. Make money. People make money.
But the key thing in that is that you got to manufacture and produce. You cannot go to Asians trying to buy wholesale thinking they're going to give you family prices. They ain't going to do that.
Exactly.
You have to use a place like Africa and the Caribbean to manufacture and produce.
I would say black women not buying weave. That's what I would say.
They're
not going to do that.
Black women not buying weed. You need to get these black.
But that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen.
I
you have to accept it. Due to the American standard and due to how you know, most men, period, not all, but most men, period, like a woman with longer hair. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
They do. Okay, they don't like their woman bald-headed. That's why
right.
these women wear weeds. I'm going to be honest
but
with you. They
got
don't.
Got a big booty. It's already right.
These
though.
Women started off with
yeah,
long hair.
Chick,
if they
yeah,
would
if,
stay
if
out the
chick,
salon.
Yeah,
no, yeah, yeah, they had the little
if
corset,
they
but, you know,
the salon,
they could
have
braid it up.
Hair.
I mean, they could braid it up and do different styles and do different things with their hair. I mean, that's not an issue. You know,
it's not an issue. It's not an issue, but it is an issue.
Okay, it's not an issue, but the standard
of beauty
in America is
the
Western appearance.
Look at that.
What
he say? Long as the booty big, there we go. Long as the booty
big,
there we go.
Okay, well, what about women that don't have it? Then what?
Hold on.
Then that's why the women that don't have it. It's the one that's getting the illegal injections and risking their life and stuff like that because they know black men are so thirsty behind a woman's behind that he'll trick and stuff and everything behind a booty. We all know this. Just take
tell
care
me,
of another man's kids and everything just because this chick got a booty. I don't care what you say. That's the truth. A lot of black men, well,
true.
It's a scientific explanation why black men are so sex crazed. The scientific explanation is because black men is the only race of men that have the highest degree of testosterone. And the higher the testosterone, the higher the libido. That's scientific.
That's why white men envy
black
men.
They don't
okay?
make
white men
so, yes,
have libido or no T levels as high as ours.
But they need
well,
to
hold
take
on, hold
that
on.
Libido
let's,
yeah, that's,
and go out there and find the kids and be daddies.
Hold on, hold
they
on. Here's the thing.
That sexual energy they got running through their body.
It goes back, but it goes back to
it'll
those good old Christian women that would say, hey, I'm not going to give it up because I love God. But yeah, they love God and spreading the legs.
It all starts
goes
with
all
us.
The way
let's
back
try to
back.
Be better people. Let's try to do better for this world. It all starts with us.
Well,
exactly.
Here's
let me,
the thing.
Let me get that. Hold on, everybody. Hold on a quick second, Chemo Savvy.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get this.
All right.
Let's see this come on through. Erico 480, you're on the show.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing? What's your name, bro?
I'm Delano.
Oh, okay, what's up, Delano?
I just want to share something. I used to be a manager at a restaurant like 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I had a girl. I didn't see her drop it off. She dropped it off an application. And she wrote the application in Crayon.
Oh, are you freaking serious?
Yeah.
I don't put it past her.
I was about to throw it away, but I had to call her back. So I called her. I could barely read the numbers, but
well, at least she did try. Give her that much.
I just wanted to see why she.
Well, you
did
know,
that
you
so
can't.
You
it's just look like
I mean,
this, y'all.
Even a pencil would have been better than a crank.
Yeah.
Well, listen at this.
No battle. She ain't been.
We can't. You can't make fun. Out of what these children are coming out of school. It's not their fault. A child don't go to school wanting to fail. That is black society's fault.
That's right.
It ain't just that child's fault.
Talking about jobs, half of black folks don't even know how to fill out, don't even know how to make a proper resume.
Right.
Dumb parents make dumb kids. That's just what it is.
Because every time, because like I said, I thank God I learned, because like when I put in my resume, I get called. But you know, two reasons I get calls. I ain't gonna lie. It was not only because of my what I put down and what my history is. But thank God my mama didn't name me one of them crazy names. So
that's
they probably
right.
think I'm white. They probably think I'm white when they see that resume. They say, "Oh shoot, that's a black man." You know. So
yeah, but that don't apply nowadays because you got immigrants in this country that they use their own cultural name.
Yeah, they
I mean, my
use
real
names,
name,
but they don't.
My real name.
I
want
to say
my real name is Bianchi. My birth certificate name is Bianchi. I never have any problems with that.
Yeah, but they don't sound. They don't sound like Jamarius and all them other ones that label you. Them
so,
names.
So what's the problem with your kid Jamarius? What's the problem with that?
Wait.
Not for me, it's not a problem.
Out of all the names,
you chose
somebody with that name.
There's
you
know
what
I'm going
we
back
crazy,
to the church
man.
For a second. Going back
yeah,
to the church
crazy,
for a
man.
Second.
Please
there's
go back
two
to the
things
church.
That people seem to forget about our community. One is we give a lot of money to churches, and we have a lot of millionaires. But the irony of that is, does anybody know the name of any black bank in the United States of America?
There's one
yeah,
black
I do.
Bank in D.C.
African
one.
Development Center up in Minnesota is a Sharia bank ran by Somalis.
There's a few black banks. They got a few black banks.
So where, if we got black banks, how come black people don't go to black banks to get loans to start their own black businesses?
And see, Negroes don't support their own.
Because these black banks on all over the country, like you say, the Bank of America, the Wells Fargo's, the Chase, and all them other ones. You can find one of them banks in your city.
And
what you got to realize is that the thing about it is, you know, it's easy to say that, but then, if you know, even if it is a black, some black banks out there, which I know there's a couple of them out there, but, you know, even a lot of the black people aren't going to support those banks, particularly if they're not up to par. Because, you know, if you're talking about a bank where you're dealing with people's money, you know, your bank got to be on point. People are not going to just entrust their money with anybody.
They
entrust
their money with
the
preacher.
They will entrust their money with the preacher, though. It was a black income tax company, and the black people did support that. They went with their tax returns to get their income tax money, and that black business ripped them people off.
Talking about that church. That was a preacher.
Yeah, but I'm saying black businesses, black people don't support them. Yes, they do, and then they get ripped off.
But, you know, that institution, that's the point I was making.
So the white man ripped you off all the time, but he cool, though.
No, all
I'm
wrong,
this,
but I'm just
I
saying.
No.
All
but,
I'm wrong, but I was
saying
just saying that people say people don't support black businesses. Yes, they do. They will.
I'm not saying that people don't.
I'm saying we're not controlling our own dollars. Hold on a second, guys.
Hold on a second, guys. I need to take a call. Erico 617, you on the show.
Hi.
Hey, Vanessa, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You called in with 4 minutes. I just saw what you had wrote. I said, oh, okay, Miss Vanessa calling back in. What's on your mind, sister?
I just want to say two things. I think black people are scared of education because theoretically, if you know better, you do better. And a lot of us are just so used to the struggle and going through
being on the bottom
that we don't see a way out. And it's comfortable. It's comfortable to say, well, I'm from the hood and I experience these things and I'm at the bottom. It's kind of cool and a badge of honor to accept that. And if you know better, you would have to do better. And I don't think a lot of us are mentally and psychologically prepared to do better. And also, I wanted to say about the nation building, I think that Africa has a lot of resources and other places that's mostly populated by black folks. If we did want businesses and we did want to export goods and whatnot, why wouldn't we connect with other places? But I think as black folks, we have that double mentality of like, yeah, I'm black, but I don't trust them and they're different and whatnot. So I think it's like the mentality and the psychology of how we perceive ourselves and others.
I can definitely agree with that, sister. Ms. Gabrielle, you got anything to say about that?
But you know, young man, let me tell you something. You don't have to have all black people marching in the same direction. Blacks live in metropolitan area where they make up 70% of the population. Those are economic markets. All you need is a group of blacks to sit down as a cartel and put plans together to control some aspect of those economic markets and let it expand.
All right, good deal.
You can't expand something that you don't create, though.
That's why you have to manufacture. You have to manufacture and produce. You cannot produce and manufacture in America and now sell Asians. You're going to have to go someplace else, like the young lady said, in West Africa, where labor is cheap. You have all sorts of trade agreements to your advantage. Import back into these economic markets and start taking control of those who's already there. Start pushing them back out.
I agree with you, but it's one thing you're forgetting. We have always been the best innovators in this country. First, we innovate. We control what we innovate. Then we manufacture.
Yeah, because black folks,
the
they
past.
Always, they don't take advantage of what they create.
We were kind of forced to, you know, be amongst ourselves and do for ourselves. I think we got to go back to that. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I think being conscious that the rest of the people are doing for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You have
all
example,
you need is
in,
a group
in major
of people
cities,
that's thinking
in
the same
in the
way.
Cities, in the major cities, you know, New York, Philadelphia, D.C., you know what I'm saying? You have all different types of stores in the black community. You got the Chinese store, you got the Latino store.
And what they say, hey, brother, brother, I hate to
but,
cut you short, but I got a few. Brother, I hate to cut this short, but the show about to end here. So I appreciate everybody joining us for the show tonight. Ms. Gabrielle has put her links in the description box. These 2 hours went pretty fast tonight. I didn't realize it went by that quick. And I appreciate everybody calling in, joining the conversation. And we're definitely going to be back next week. Me and Ms. Gabrielle will probably knock heads on what the topic is going to be. I definitely, you know, I'd rather y'all talk more than me because I enjoy just hearing the conversation. I think I talk enough on that YouTube website personally. Ms. Gabrielle, got anything to say before we walk out of here?
I mean, other than like asking people to like my fan page. thank you guys for coming on the show. I really appreciated having so many people call in and hearing what you guys had to say. That was really interesting. And I love how everybody remains civil because that's really hard to find in a lot of in controversial topics like this.
Well, it's really what you put out there also, Ms. Gabrielle. It's like if you talk in a certain way and you allowing people to talk a certain way to others, you can't have a healthy discussion. That's something I just never wanted to do on any of my media is talk, let people talk a certain way where there's too much drama going on. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'd like to thank everyone for coming by. And if you people who haven't listened to the show, catch my past shows as well. And we'll definitely be back and see you guys next week.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.